Greetings, glad you're here. I love seeing you guys greet each other and hang out, but come sit down. Welcome, welcome, glad you're here. Congratulations, you made it to another Sunday. I love seeing you here at Way of Life Fellowship. We are a great body and great fellowship of Christ, and so we want to continue to fellowship together and gather together. I'm going to be right up in your grill. All right. So if you can find a seat, that'd be great. I have a couple of announcements I want to run through. Next Sunday, we are not going to be meeting here. Next Sunday, we are going to be meeting at our annual baptism location, which is in the bulletin at Crystal Springs Ranch. And so make sure that you provide a side dish and a dessert, but the meat and the drinks will be provided. So make sure that you join us for that. Pop that address in your GPS or whatever, and you'll find it pretty easily. So it's a good, beautiful place, and you won't want to miss out. If you're interested in getting baptized, if you're still interested in getting baptized, let me know, and we will get you dunked. So I'm excited about that. And so let me know. Be praying about it, thinking about it. And if it's on your heart and you haven't done it, then let's get it done and be in obedience with Jesus there on that. On Saturday, August 22nd, we're going to be doing a landscaping project here at the school. The school was extremely appreciative of what we did for the school grounds all throughout the school year, doing maintenance on the lawn and doing weeding, and they found that to be a very loving act from us to them, and so we want to try and keep up on it so that we don't have to work really, really hard to try and get it back to where we had it at the end of the school year. So August 22nd, be paying attention to that. Wednesday through Friday, September 2nd through the 4th is going to be our 3 days of prayer. Keep that on your mind as well. Also, Tuesday evenings, we have our Acts Bible study and small groups, so feel free to come out to our place on that. And tonight, we have our most important meeting of as a church is our prayer meeting, and we do that this evening at 7 p.m. Now, we somehow misplaced someone took all of our prayer cards or whatever. But anyway, from setting up and tearing down, we somehow misplaced a lot of our prayer cards. And so if you could, there are other cards back there, greeting cards, things like that. Just write your prayer request on that. Make sure it gets in the basket in the back so that we can pray for you. Make sure that you do write down your prayer requests. It helps us a lot. And we have a bunch of people that pray for you all throughout the week. So be getting involved in those sorts of things. Before we get started this morning, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into it. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are and what you do. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for entrusting us with the mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those around us, Lord, and all those around the world. Father, I pray that you will bless this morning, that my words would be your words. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, let me start out by saying this. If my words get jumbled and sort of slurred together, it's because of exhaustion. We just arrived home from a mission trip to Mexico where we left last week after church, and we arrived yesterday back at home at about 3 o'clock p.m. So recuperating, this is usually the day when your body just sort of says, enough, I'm done, I want to watch a movie and eat something that I'm used to eating. So anyway, just forgive me ahead of time on that. Also, on mission trips, if you've ever been on mission trips, and I just want to kind of, today is going to be really kind of a giving you an idea of what the trip was like, but also just giving you an idea of who we are as a church and how we want to live on mission, and just the call of Jesus for all of us to live life on mission. But anytime you go on a mission trip, anytime you spend time with a number of people together in close quarters over a week or longer or any period of time, there become these inside jokes that you end up not feeling like you're on the outside of if you're like around them. I know you've been in that situation before where people who have been on a trip together are talking about something. So I'm going to try to give you a little bit of those inside jokes and just kind of give you some insight to those so that way when we are joking about them later, you'll understand what we're talking about. So we went down, six of us, right? Yeah. Six of us went down. I think we left one there. Anyway, six of us went down. We took three vehicles. One of them was a Mazda minivan that was donated and to give to the family in Mexico who is starting an orphanage. So let me back up a little bit and go backwards to our special offering. And our special offering, we desired to raise $20,000 in order to give away to people. We want to give away to people foreign, overseas. We wanted to give away to people here in the States that are in need, to ministries that are preaching the gospel. And we took our first special offering, we raised $20,000 and we gave $6,500 to a school in Africa. And I went over to Senegal, West Africa, and we watched them build this school. And now that school is beautiful and built completely because of the donations of Way of Life Fellowship. That school is now on a registry in Senegal, and they've received computers, and they've received all sorts of great gifts from the government recognizing this school as a legitimate school, where before the school would burn down every year. And so this is a concrete structure that we were able to, as a church, we were able to build it, and it was great. But I went there. And I was about the only one that was able to go there besides one of our elders. But the fact of the matter is, it costs like $3,000 to go to Africa. And the only real good time to go to Africa is in the fall or in the spring when it is really hot there and it's not the rainy season. But that's usually the time when we're all busy, right? And so it's not the middle of the summer. And so we as an elder group discussed it and said, and I came back from Senegal excited about missions, excited about what we were able to do there in a foreign land, but realizing that we as a congregation couldn't really get behind it to the extent that I was really desiring for us to get behind it. To the point where we could go down, or where we could go to Africa annually and visit the same people and build connections with them and watch their lives grow and disciple them as they walk toward Jesus. It just wasn't really something that was really feasible in Africa, where it would be in Mexico. And so this next year, we set out for a goal to go down to Mexico and to start a work in Mexico, but we wanted it to be our own work, something that we weren't necessarily jumping on with some other organization or some other church that had already started something. We wanted to bless somebody who hadn't really been blessed yet by an organization coming behind them. And so I called my friend, a friend of mine who I had met because of a mission trip to Mexico 5 years ago, named Marcos Castillo. And Marcos, I texted him and I said, Marcos, we want to, as a church, come down to Mexico and we want to start helping orphans. And the reason why we want to start helping orphans is because of a passage of Scripture in James 1:27, which says this. It says, religion that our God that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And that's where we're going to hang today, is in that passage of Scripture in James. James chapter 1, verse 27. And it was the motivating factor for us to then begin a work with an orphanage. But we didn't have an orphanage to give to. We knew nobody down there in Mexico, and we knew where we wanted to work, but we had no idea if there was even an orphanage around that area until I mentioned to Marcos that we wanted to connect with an orphanage. And he just happened to live next door to a guy who was a pastor of a church previously and had begun the work of doing an orphanage. His name was Jose Navarro, and Jose Navarro was really desiring to understand life better. He wanted to have a better life for himself, and so when he was 16 years old, he hid in the trunk of a car, and he rode across the border into the United States, entering into the United States illegally at 16 years old. And he went into the U.S. and he spent time in Northern California, where he tried to get some work, and he got work as a dishwasher. And he started washing dishes and realizing that as he was washing dishes, some of these people in this Italian restaurant where he was washing dishes would point at him, look at him, and say something in English that he didn't understand, and they would laugh about it. And he started to get really uncomfortable about that and wanted to know what it was that they were saying. So he would put English-speaking tapes on while he was washing dishes to learn English. And so he worked and he worked, and he didn't graduate high school. He didn't go to high school. He just worked his tail off until he finally learned how to speak English enough to where he could get other work. He was led to the Lord at about the age of 19, and after he was led to the Lord, he realized that he needed to just do things right. And so he started to find other jobs, and he met a girl. Her name was Irma, and Irma is one of the cutest ladies on the planet, and I mean that. And when you see her, you will agree. Irma is about this tall, and I'm not kidding you, maybe tall, maybe shorter, yeah, like this tall. Irma, full-grown lady, beautiful lady, and they met in the United States. She was a child care worker. She was a babysitter for a family. She was there illegally as well in the United States. They got pregnant after they got married, and they had kids, two children. One, a boy named I only got his American name, Alejandro, yeah, Alex. And he lived in the U.S. until he was 8, and they had Jasmine Elizabeth. Jasmine Elizabeth, a beautiful little girl who was their pride and joy, both of their children. They moved back to Mexico after a period of time because he believed, after coming to Jesus, accepting him as his Savior, and walking with the Lord, with him and his wife, they realized their mission was not in the United States. It was in Mexico. So they moved back to Mexico, and they lived in Mexico, South Baja, California, and they started working with a church, another church that was down there. And he was an associate pastor, and he worked with them and with children, and he worked also alongside of another man who had started an orphanage. And that man started an orphanage, and they worked together side by side. And after a little while, he realized that God was calling him farther north. And so they moved to Rosarito, California. And his daughter, Elizabeth, got sick, very sick, when her kidneys began to fail. And he took her back to the United States, and they couldn't do anything. Took her back to General Hospital in Tijuana, and that's where she passed away 3 years ago. Jasmine Elizabeth passed away at the age of 13 years old. 13 years old, and she was just a beautiful girl who wanted to give. And that's what he told me when he was explaining to us her story. She always gave, just was a giver, and loved people. And so 3 years ago, they decided then to begin the work of an orphanage. Since they lost their daughter, they were going to start helping other children. And so they started finding children. They would get bread delivered to them, and they still do this. They get bread delivered to them by an American who lives down there, and that they get too much bread, and so they start distributing the bread among other people in the community. And as they were distributing the bread to the people in the community, they came across four young boys who were in a home by themselves, no parents. And he said, "Here's your bread." And they came back the next day. "Here's some more bread. Where are your parents?" My mom is at work. My dad is gone." And so they came back a third day. "Where is your mom?" "She's at work. She hasn't been here." And so he went and found the mom and said, "Hey, you need to come take care of your children, or you need to give them to me because I'll take care of them." And she said, no, they're fine, until the police found the children one day. One of them was lost, had run away, had walked and wandered away. And so the police came and to the mom and said, "You're going to lose your children." And she said, "No, I don't want to lose my children." And so she gave all four of her children to Jose and Irma to have in their home. And they're beautiful children. They're great children. And so Marcos Castillo, this friend of mine who was a pastor in a church and the neighbor of Jose Navarro, calls me and says, "I've got a mission for you. It's an orphanage in Rosarito. Man named Jose Navarro, who is just beginning the work, and nobody has gotten behind him yet." And so I contact Jose Navarro, we communicate with him, and we say, "Okay, let's go on a mission trip. Let's go down to Mexico." As elders, we decided we're going to go and test this thing out and see what we can do, try to meet some needs while we're there, and then try to determine, is this going to be a long-term ministry of Way of Life Fellowship? Is this going to be something that every year we can connect with them again, and we can watch these children grow, and we can see them get discipled, and we can be a part of their church and their family, and they can be a part of our church and our family, and we can walk together side by side with this organization, this mission, this orphanage? And so we went down. My goals were specifically to bring them a vehicle, because they only had one vehicle, and it was, as it turns out, really beat up. And so they had one vehicle that they were about to lose that we as a church helped them to make, to hold on to. And so they were able to have that vehicle longer and keep that vehicle. And so my goal was to give them a van and to essentially just mingle with them, talk with them, and figure out what their needs are, figure out what their dreams are, figure out what the direction is, and try to just kind of gauge whether or not this was going to be something long term. So it was a scouting mission. So we took six people. Before we left, about a month ago, Jose said, "We're ready to pour concrete on the site. We're ready to start building the building." And I said, "Whoa, time out, hold on. I thought we were just going down to hang out with you guys and not do work, but it looks like we're going to have to do some work too." So now added to the goal was we're going to pour a slab of concrete in order for them to build a building on. Hopefully we can even get two slabs poured and get them started on two different buildings at the same time. So we left here last Sunday. Last Sunday, started driving, the six of us, to take the van down and we hauled a bunch of concrete tools down, and we started our adventure. And so I'm going to show this. We're going to show some pictures, and I'm going to just give you some ideas. We arrived, and this is the family. Can we turn the lights down, maybe? Thanks. Can you see that okay? Ish? Okay. All right. So we got most of us, except for Paul, who was taking a picture, but you don't need to see his mug anyway. So we got Bill, and starting over here, we got Bill and Marissa, and then we have Lynn and myself and Jason. We're all the gringos. Then I'm not even going to try this because I'm going to screw it up, I'm pretty sure. And then we have all the children. Hey, that's great. That's much better. And see this lady in the front in the little orange dress? That's Irma. Yeah, you guys are like, "Oh, yeah." Jason was like, "I just wanted to put her in my pocket and take her home with me." We like get to the border and they'd be like, "What's in your pockets? It's just a person. What?" It's a normal thing. So, all right, go to the next slide, and we'll kind of go through here. So this is what the ground looked like, and you can see the tarps in the background. That tarp was their shade that they had kind of a makeshift shade, and that behind that shade is a travel trailer, and that's where they stay. That's where most of life happens. There is a neighbor down the way that they cook meals at their place, and some of the kids sleep in one of their rooms. But this is the plot of ground that we were going to be pouring concrete on. So go ahead and go to the next one. So the first day we arrived, we looked at the ground, and we arrived there in the evening. It was fairly late. It was pretty dark by the time that we were even able to see the grounds. But we showed up there, and we immediately realized, okay, we need to go get some tools. So imagine this. There's a Home Depot in Rosarito. Yep, not kidding you. And Rosarito is laid out as a tourist destination. It's kind of a resort community and kind of a party atmosphere oftentimes. But it essentially goes the ocean, and then hotels and restaurants, and then it starts the residential area right behind that. Pretty nice houses because it's close to the beach, and the farther you get away from the beach, the worse and worse it gets. And I mean, three blocks east from the coast, and you're in a third world country. It's that quick. And so we are on the top of Tornado Hill. That's the name of the thing. Tornado was the name of the land, and it was the very top of this hill. You can see in the background just the haze, and you'll get a good look at the view. But we arrived that evening, and we said, okay, we need to get some tools. So we went to Home Depot, and I talked with Jose, who, remember, had lived in the United States for quite a period of time, so his English was surprisingly good. And you'll get to meet Jose in about 3 weeks. We're going to have a video that's going to show a bunch of highlights and stuff, a short video of all of it. And you'll get to meet him. You'll get to see him. And you're going to just fall in love with him like we did. But that evening, I said, we're going to need help. And so he said, all right, I'll get some help. So he hired a couple guys that he didn't know. they showed up that morning. We hired them, and then a bunch of volunteer kids from his church. One kid, I couldn't pronounce his name, so I called him En Fuego, which means on fire, because he was kind of like the GQ dude of the group, and so all the other kids were making fun of him because his name was En Fuego, and by a gringo, and it was just as fun for me. So the plot of land here, you can see this, I wish I had a laser pointer, but anyway, you see this little bare piece of ground over here, rocks all over here, but then this little circular bare piece, you see that over here on the right? That's a rock, and it was probably a 6 foot by 6 foot rock that was not going to go anywhere, so that's what determined our grade for the concrete. And so so he said, we're going to just make that the grade. So, okay, go to the next slide. So a bunch of these kids started shoveling rocks and getting it to the grade that we needed. You can see that the makeshift shade. See this little teardrop trailer off into the distance over here on the ground? That is where Jose and Irma live. That's their home right now, in that little trailer. And it's probably about a 5.5 foot wide by 8 foot long little trailer that leaks in the wintertime. And so they've lived there for a little while. Okay, go to the next slide. So this is their view off the back. Isn't that amazing? And you can see this is all a new development. And if you're interested in buying land in Mexico, you can buy it for a plot of land for about $15,000 or $16,000. You can get a piece of land. That's what their property. They're on two lots of land. And so we're going to be building on essentially every inch of this land, a structure. And we'll tell you more about what that structure is going to look like here in a little bit. This down bottom part right here is about 9 feet. You can't really tell, but from where the boys are standing up here to where that man is standing down there is about a 9 foot drop. And so we hired a guy named Antonio. Antonio, to build a fence right there because we weren't able to build there and people would fall and break things if they got too close. So we're building the fence. This is going to be this bottom level, if you can imagine it, and some of you who are construction people may be able to imagine it. That's going to be three stories tall. That first story is going to have in the far corner a bathroom. After that is going to be a dining room. In the middle, where the shadow is from the light pole, is going to be the kitchen. And on this side is going to be the office for the orphanage. You'll enter in through the office, go upstairs, which will take you to this level, which is the second level, where all of these people are standing, is the second level. And that second level is going to go straight across over the top of all of this. And there's going to be a medical center right over the top of the office. Then there's going to be a bedroom for babies right over the top of the shadow right there. Then there's going to be Jose and Irma's bedroom. And then there's going to be a bathroom attached to that. Then a third story, which is going to be the deck. And the deck is going to house their water tank, which will be all gravity fed, which will feed down into the bathrooms, the two bathrooms below. And there will be a bathroom on the second floor back by the drain. You see that drain that's coming out of the wall there? There's a drain there. There's going to be a bathroom there and a laundry room there. And that'll be this story here. Okay, go to this next slide. That's the view looking out. And you can see that kind of crazy looking view off in the distance. It looks like a complex, or it looks like a kind of storage units. Those are all houses. And the houses are all like some investor from the West probably bought all of that land and then sold all those lots and just made a ton of money. And they put two houses on every lot. And they're just right next door to each other. Each door, each wall works for two different houses. It's essentially duplexes, that whole thing. And they're all connected together. So, and it's all paved roads, which is kind of nice over there. There's another shot of a view. That's a school and a park over here, that nice complex over here. You can see there's palm trees in the middle of the road. Palm trees right in the middle of the road. It's really nicely landscaped, although the road's not paved. And so it's, you know, it'll be number of years before the road gets paved. But anyway, so keep going. This is Jose Navarro and me and the shanty that they have built up behind them there. Go ahead. This area right here is where they do their school. They're homeschooled. All the children do homeschooling, and they all are right in this area here. This is where they eat. This is where they hang out. Right here, if you can imagine, right here is going to be where a kind of a storage closet is, and over here is where the pad is that we're pouring right now. So it's kind of hard to imagine right now, but go ahead and go to the next one. Okay, go to the next one. So this is their shade. And when we got there, there was water that was dipped in the roof. And so you'd press up on it and it would leak water all over the place. So I was trying to aim it towards Bill so I could get him all wet. But it was, anyway, we tore all of that down. All right, help me out. Which was this? This is Benjamin, right? Benjamin, and I called him Benjamin, a cute little guy. He's like 8 years old, I think, something like that, 7, 8 years old, just adorable little guy. So we had to order lumber. We went to Home Depot and asked them if they would deliver lumber that night that we arrived. They said, yes, we can deliver lumber. It will be 3 weeks. He said, that ain't going to happen. And so we started thinking of ways that we could get the lumber up to the building site. And we had this van that was donated. It's Mazda. And we knew it had a V6. And it had a luggage rack on top. But we needed to haul an awful lot of 20-foot 2x6s, which probably wouldn't work well because it would essentially encompass the entire vehicle. And we would tie it to the front bumper and the back bumper. And so I'm envisioning envisioning us driving down the road with this lumber all attached to this thing, loaded and weighted down, and thinking, that ain't going to happen. So we went to a couple other lumber yards and found one that was willing to deliver it that day because we were going to be spending an awful lot of money with them. And so they said they bumped all their other people and put us on priority. And so we bought from them a great deal of lumber and rebar, and they delivered it that day. And so that afternoon, they showed up and they delivered and dropped off all these pieces of lumber. Now, you have to remember, I'm white. I don't know if you know that. And so I'm always like, yeah, red, yeah. And so I'm like trying to tell this crew of Hispanic folks what I need. And I would be like, 2x4. And I'm like, oh, dos par cuatro. And every time I had to say a 2x4 or 2x6, I always would say, I need a 2x4. And I wouldn't get it, like the dense skull. I'm like, dos de seis? And then they bring me like 2x6. And I'm like, oh, dang, dos de cuatro. That's right. 2x4, and so anyway, it was just gave me a headache and a half, you can imagine. And so anyway, so they're bringing them over, and we start getting it all set up and ready to go, and here's some guys helping us do it, and we're trying to get this thing in square. The width of this thing, the length of it is going to be 30 feet long, or 10 meters, pick that up, and it's going to be 18 feet wide, or 6 meters. So I cut my boards. I had my 30-foot, I had a 20-footer, and I had a 10-footer, and I had my 18-footer, and I had a 17-footer. And I built the whole thing and realized after it was completely built and completely braced that I had cut one of them at 17 feet instead of 18 feet. They should have both been 18 feet, right? Because it's... So we had to tear the thing apart and rebuild it, and so that's what we did. Amazingly, we were able to build the thing and get it all squared up. Okay, keep going. We had a lot of help, a lot of these guys helping out. We used power tools. Keep going. And so then the next day, we had the concrete come. Concrete company showed up on time. The concrete pump truck showed up on time, and they started blasting the concrete out at 100 miles an hour. Concrete everywhere, blasting over every child, over every male woman, every dog that was in the neighborhood, covered in concrete. The cameras covered in concrete. I mean, everything, just blasting it out. And at such a high rate of speed, with such a high frame here, you can see how tall that wall had to be. It had to be 2.5 feet tall just to get the thing level. And so it blew out the bottom of our form. It just blew out the bottom of the form. And so I'm pulling concrete away, and we're wrestling around trying to get the concrete back in and get the forms all squared up again and everything. And one of the things that they do is they put the rebar all through it. So we put rebar all through it, but then you see these rebar sticking straight up, just like this, all the way around the whole thing's rebar sticking straight up. Now, one of the things that we decided to do with some of the extra lumber, because we realized we weren't going to be able to pour the bottom level, so there's a bottom level and a top level like this, we weren't going to be able to pour this bottom level because in order to pour the floor, we were going to have to pour a 5.5 foot tall retaining wall, which is what we're going to have to do the next time that we go down there. So there's a retaining wall in order to be able to pour the floor on the inside of it. And so we had extra lumber. And so with that extra lumber, some guys in Paul started building a new shanty on that, a new shade for them. Yeah. What? Awning. That's it. Thank you. A new awning on it. And so they're going to build this thing, and they got this guy, Infuego, is up on the roof, and Infuego steps on their awning that's supposed to roll out, and it breaks it, and the whole thing falls and collapses. So then they have to rework the whole thing again and get it all worked back up and everything, and it was a beautiful thing. And so anyway, we got the concrete poured, and I started just troweling it out like I normally do, and the concrete was getting hard faster than, I mean, it was ridiculously hard. And so... You can see these boulders. See those boulders up on the wall up there? That's in the ground everywhere. And so we couldn't drive stakes to hold the forms in. We had to use those boulders just to hold the forms like in place, because you couldn't drive a stake into the ground anywhere. So there's me getting sunburned horribly. Jose watching alongside of Bill and Jason. Wait, go back to that other one. Yeah, that's what Jason and Bill did most of the time. I'm kidding. They worked really hard. They worked so hard we got exhausted. I think we got heat exhaustion, and we're still suffering from that a little bit. So just dealing with that. So this is somebody else's land over here. This is where they cut it out is the end of their land. And so this building that we're building is going to be their homeschool room. It's going to be where they hold Bible studies. And it's going to be, for right now, it's going to be their bedrooms until we can build something else for them. So we took with us, this is Jose and that's Antonio. And you can see all that rebar that we bought back there. They used rebar like crazy. Anyway, we took with us $4,000 for the construction project, and we spent all $4,000. And I have pictures that we'll show you in the video. The day we left, so Friday was the day we left, and I left Jose with $1,500 to buy blocks, and to go out and buy blocks so that they can start building on this tomorrow. They're going to start putting the walls up tomorrow on this that we poured. And we're down the road. We probably were in L.A., maybe 4 hours down the road. And he sends me a picture of the truck delivering all the bricks, 2,000 bricks. Yeah, delivering them, and they're stacking them all along here. And so he's absolutely excited to get this thing done and get it built. So we're going to build on the first floor is going to be their classroom space. It's going to have windows. It'll have a door. No bathroom in that building at all. And then we're going to go second story. And the second story, here's the shade that we built. But the second story above this, right above this platform here, which is going to line up with the deck on the other one, if you're following me, the deck on the third story one. The second story of this one is going to have bedrooms. It's going to be bedrooms for the girls. We'll be in that room. Then where the trailer is now, the backside of the trailer is their property line that goes all the way down. Where the trailer is now is going to be a living room, and it's going to be a dining room kind of area, just kind of a lounge area, hangout for people. Above it, in line with this second story, is going to be the room for the boys. And it will have access to the deck over on that side over there. And so, and then there will be a bathroom and things over on that side. Where we were, okay, go to the next slide. That's Benjamin in his SpongeBob SquarePants pants. Oh, they're not here. We had some kites that were donated to us, and Marissa took these kids under her wing. She's a lady who came here, young girl, 19, came to church here just as we were announcing we were going on this Mexico mission trip, and she heard about it and heard we were going to build an orphanage, and she was so excited about it because it turns out, as we found out on the trip, she's an orphan. And she just took these kids under her wings. We had kites donated to us, and so she was flying the kites. The kids were flying the kites like crazy. There was so much wind, and luckily there were some power lines that they could play with around too. This is the neighbor's house, and so you can see this is third world country stuff, right? I mean, this is just piecemealed together, building a house, putting things together. As they go along, and this is their neighbor on the back side. So there's going to be a little, I'm going to end up drawing kind of a schematic of what, just a rough drawing of what we're envisioning this orphanage to look like. But it's going to require all of us, because right now we're the only ones that are supporting this orphanage. They have nobody else besides some people locally that are bringing some bread and bringing some clothes that then they turn around and hand out to other people in the community. We're the only ones. And so God is using us and wants us to build this thing. And so we came away from this looking at it and saying, okay, what were our goals? Our goals were to identify if this was going to be a long-term connection with these people. And I think we came away from it definitely saying, yes, the Lord is saying, this is the place that we are going to connect with. Jose Navarro, it was like we have known him for 20 years. It was ridiculous how connected we were with him and how easy it was to communicate with him. His sense of humor was just like ours, which is a little warped. And so let me tell you just briefly about this kid. This kid's name is Salon, and Salon's parents live in the United States, and they left him in Mexico and left him with his grandparents, grandmother and grandfather. His grandfather and grandmother are too old now. They can't take care of him. And so Jose heard about him because Salon is 12 years old. And he was already getting involved in gang activity and drugs in South Baja. And so they went and picked him up. And this kid did not have the smile off of his face the entire time we were there. He's a beautiful kid. And he would watch every single thing that we would do. And he would put a tape measure on his belt. And he'd walk around, and he wanted to do everything. And we went and took the kids out for pizza. They had never gone out to eat before. They had never gone out to eat. All of them together, they hadn't gone out to eat. They've never gone out to pizza. And so we were like, okay, where do you want to go to pizza? We'll leave it up to Jose because he knows the community. And so he takes us to Little Caesars. And we're like, we can't eat here at Little Caesars. Where should we go? So we looked it up on a little GPS, and it said Mama Mia's Pizza or Peter Piper's Pizzeria. And we were like, let's Peter Piper's Pizzeria, I don't know. So we go to Peter Piper's. You know what it was like? Chuck E. Cheese, if you've ever been there before. And it was massive. And the kids all got these coins that they had never gotten before. And they didn't even know how to put them into the little coin-operated machines as we were helping them put them in the little coin-operated machines and helping them play these games. And pretty soon they're getting tickets. And they're like, what is this ticket? And we're getting these tickets and going up to the counter and buying these little plastic piece of junk tops and stuff, but they adored them because they won them. And they're watching these other kids come by with like 500 tickets, and they're like, whoa, what? And it just blew them away, and they had the greatest time. They had no idea how to use a fountain machine, soda fountain machine. You think about that just for a second, and think about like how many children in America just take that stuff for granted. Even in this restaurant, as we were there, watching some of the children who obviously had been there before, watching their attitudes and how vastly different it was from these children. The difference between entitlement and the difference between kids who were truly, truly grateful. And we ate the pizza, and it wasn't that good, but it was great fun, and we had a great time. So we finished the slab. And we had a day. We had a day to go and do some things. And so I said, I want to go and I want to visit Marcos Castillo's family, who we had built their house before in the past. I had participated in building the house. And so I went to go find Marcos Castillo. And he knew where they lived. And as we were driving there, we were passing by another site where we had built a house for Marcos's sister and her husband. And this is Marcos's sister. This is Elizabeth here, and that is Roberto in the back, and then their four children who live with them in the house that we built for them. And so go to the next slide. In this house back behind them, we built that house for them about 5 years ago, right? And so we decided we'd swing by. And as we're swinging by, we stop in and said, how's the house holding up? And he said, not so good. There's a leak in the roof that we can't fix. And so so this is Roberto. And so we went to Home Depot that evening and we purchased 10 gallons of tar stuff that they can put on their roof, and we gave it to Jose and said, Jose, can you take this back to Elizabeth and Roberto? And he said, yeah. And that next day, by like noon on Friday, I had already gotten a picture of all the bricks being delivered, and now I had a picture of Jose standing there with the two 5-gallon buckets of tar for their roof, and he had already delivered it to them as well. And so they were super thankful for it, and they were super excited to see me, which is really fun because it's usually not the case. So I pull up and I point at them, and they're looking at the van like, who is that? And then I get out of the van, and he's holding a big machete and cutting, trimming things. He throws the machete. And we ran. It was like slow motion, like a romantic film, you know. They're like, Pastor Chris. And I was like, And it was great. It was great fun. So anyway, we gave them this van. This is the van. Now, I want to tell you an inside joke. This will help you because Jason Neufeld, you will hear him probably talk like this for the rest of his life. We started driving this van around Mexico, and the roads are not good. There are huge boulders in the roads, and this van did not like it. It copped an attitude with us. In fact, it tried to kill us. My seatbelt just fell off. And one day, like the whole harness thing just fell down. And the same evening, it fogged up. The whole interior window would fog up. And I was convinced the van wanted to kill me. And so we gave the van a name while we were in Mexico. It was Sir Charles was the name because it had a voice. And every time we would drive over something that would bump or bruise the van, we would say, you guys are terrible drivers. I don't know what you're doing. You guys are crazy talkers. And talk like Charles Barkley, and we would talk like the van. And so from then on, every inanimate object became Charles Barkley's voice. But it was like, at first the van wanted to stay with us. It was like, you guys, why are you leaving me here in Mexico? This is terrible, terrible, terrible thing. I don't know. This is T-E-R-B-L, terrible. But by the end, we had beat it up so much, he was like, I'm glad you guys are leaving. I can't wait till you leave. Jose Navarro's going to be a better driver than you, I guarantee it. And so we had these voices. So if you hear us start talking like Charles Barkley, it's just because we're giving voice to inanimate objects. And so don't think that we're crazy or that we idolize Charles Barkley in some way. Anyway, so this is the van that's lit. With them in the van, we took them out for a dinner, just the two of them, Jose and Irma. We went down to the beach and we hung out and listened to some really good mariachi music. It was awful. It was awful. It was, imagine somebody taking a trumpet and blowing it in your ear as loud as they could. That's what it was like on the beach. So here was our goodbyes. Here's where we took them to the Chuck E. Cheese place. You can see some of their face. Yeah. So you'll get to meet each one of these kids in a video that we share. And so it was a great time, excellent time. And this is the view from our hotel that we were staying in, which we will not be staying in again, ever, 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 because of that place and this place and that place. Papas and beer would play music until midnight as loud as possible. Then the next night it was Club Tequilas. Club Tequilas would play. But the worst one was Cocoa Beach. And Cocoa Beach until 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. All night long. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Mosquito bites galore. It was great. We'll be staying somewhere else. So this is Jose and another one of the girls there. She has a baby there. And then here's some of the boys playing on the slab. They turned the slab. This is one of the girls' moms who comes to visit, or two of the girls' moms she comes to visit. Some of the parents do come and visit their children, which is really great. But they turned the slab into a volleyball net in volleyball court, started playing on it and stuff almost immediately. Here's us talking about the future of the building and where what's going to happen and where it's going to go. And here's the family with their van, Sir Charles. And they loved it. They fell in love with it. The kids just absolutely wanted to stay, wanted us to stay. It was great. So what next? Well, if anyone considers yourself religious, as it says in James chapter 1, if any of you considers yourself to be religious, does not keep a tight rein on your tongue, you deceive yourself, and your religion is worthless. Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Here, Way of Life, we want desperately for our lives to be on mission all the time. It's difficult to go to, it's easy to go to a third world country and to live life on mission with a bunch of people as you're down there living life together and trying to help them. That's easy. You come back home, that's where it's difficult. You try to see opportunities, and that's what we have to do. Try to see opportunities, every opportunity that we have, to work together for the good of those that are in need, orphans and widows, people that are desperate need. Let our religion be pure. So what next? Next year, we're going back down there around the same time. And I don't want to just take a few of us this time, because now we know what we're going to do. Now we have a clear vision of what we're going to do. And so I would love to see 15, 20 of us go down there, and we're going to spend a longer period of time, and we're going to start making this thing happen. The problem is, we need to make sure that we have the funds available in order to do it. We're going to need another $2,000 in order to finish the facility with the second story and the roof that we presently poured the foundation for. They will have all the brick and all the block, but they're going to need a roof, and they're going to need time and labor costs on that. And then next year, we're probably going to need about $6,000 or $7,000 towards our foreign missions offering during our special offering time in order to help them build that next facility. The facility that's going to be on the lower level, that's going to house the office and the dining room, and then it's going to house the medical center and the other rooms and the bathrooms, which are key ingredients for us to want to stay there. We're going to want to have showers, things like that would be really nice for the children and for them to be able to have as well. Right now, they use the trailer as their place, primary place for their bathroom and their showers. And so it just doesn't happen very often. And so so they have no running water. We would like to get them running water. So realistically, in order to finish the entire project that we want to finish over the next probably 6 years, 5 or 6 years that it's going to take us to complete the structure, and then hopefully we'll be able to gain more land so we can create more opportunities for more children. And he also wants to make a home for elderly people. And Paul and I said, you need to start building that building for us, mainly for Paul. But we want to help them see their vision of meeting people's needs in Mexico. And so we're estimating over the next 6 years or so, it's going to take probably about $30,000 to $35,000 in order to completely finish this building to completion and make it beautiful, make it as lovely as we can, because we really want this to be like a city on the hill. And that's the beautiful thing, is it's on a hill. It's right across from this huge, brand new housing development that are all going to be looking up at the hill and seeing this bright light of Jesus on the hill for this orphanage. And so I'm super excited about it, and we're going to need all of your help in order to get that done and in order to make that happen. And so I'm excited. Hopefully you'll get to come with us on the next trip. And there's a lot to do, a lot of people to meet, a lot of people to connect with, a lot of ministry to make happen. And so be praying that we can help these orphans and gain more orphans. In fact, Saturday, so Friday, we saw the bricks, we saw the new tar for the family's roof, and Saturday I was seeing pictures of four new orphans that they went and visited in Tijuana that they're wanting to bring back home. And so just be praying for Jose Navarro and for this family and for all the children, and that we would be able to minister to them in the best way that we possibly can. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we had this last week to minister to people in your name and worship alongside of people, Lord, that love you. Father, they ministered to us just as much, if not more, than what we ministered to them. Lord, I do pray that you would be blessing that family, blessing that ministry. Lord, use us in a powerful way in order to bless them. May we be your hands and feet with this opportunity, Lord. We'd need more and more people to give more and more of their time and energy and their talents and treasures, Lord, in order to help this this ministry happen. Lord, we love you very, very much, and we just give you this praise as an offering, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to end with one last worship song, and then we'll close. I just want to encourage you, if you can make it tonight to our corporate prayer time, 7 p.m. at our house. We would love it if you could do that. We'd love to have you there and to pray with us. Make sure that you fill out the prayer sheets and get those to us so that we can know how to pray best for you. Let's close with a song.